Friends, good morning. It's a pleasure to see you here, an extra pleasure to welcome you here today, to those of you who are regularly part of this worshiping community and those who may be here for the first time or the first time in a while. Thank you for coming. Everyone's presence here enriches the worship of all of us together. As always, there's a white insert inside your order of worship, which lists opportunities upcoming for service or program participation. We hope you'll take a look at those and see what may be of interest to you. Let me highlight that simply for today, following worship and the fellowship time in Fellowship Hall, our Christian education programs are available for all ages and for adults today. The resuming of classes. One of the classes for all the saints meets in the lounge today, led by Mary Davis and Scott Deals, who will be talking about saints they have known in First Baptist Church in Ann Arbor. You should come to see if you made the list. Also, there's a class for adults today that's beginning a new study. They are the Bible discussion class. It's a group discussion of biblical texts, and they begin today the book of Acts. Some of you surely will want to join in that group. Other announcements are there for your review. Meanwhile, the time of worship has arrived. Let us prepare ourselves in whatever way we need to today to be open, available, vulnerable to the Spirit's presence. To offer what is ours to offer today in truth, to receive what is ours to receive today by the gift of God. Let us worship.
Please stand if you are able. Holy God, you have gathered your people this morning in your presence to share in the warmth and joy that comes from you. Fill us with a yearning for you and your love for others, knowing that we are extensions of your hands. Remind us that we are the ones who can put your love into action here on earth. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, given as the everlasting symbol of love. Lord, in you I take refuge. Let me never be ashamed.
In your goodness, deliver me and help me.
Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me.
Lord, you are my hope. From my youth, you have been my trust. I have leaned on you since birth. My praise is continually of you.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Caesar Alanese. We want to take a few minutes to talk about the delegation that will be traveling to Amos in Nicaragua at the beginning of March. There will be 11 of us traveling to Nicaragua, and besides the two of us up here, members of the delegation include Dan Berry, Mary Davis, Scott Deals, Chris and Carolyn Grapentine, Pete Stover, Alan Burton, and our two dynamic, fearless leaders, Stacy and Zan. I also want to acknowledge Nancy Rhodes, who, although she will not be traveling with us, was the individual who spearheaded the effort for this trip. Our group is excited about making this trip to Amos, where we will be involved in providing dental education to children, working on renovating a waiting room at the Amos Health Clinic, working with a ministry that helps mothers support their children's early age development, and assisting with the Amos Youth Empowerment Program. For me, this will be my third trip to Nicaragua. My last trip was with a delegation that worked with the community at El Coyol. When I recall the trip and reflect on the vivid experiences, one of my first memories I have is of dogs barking and roosters crowing all night long. But more importantly, the trip taught me that the experience of being in a different culture and working with those less fortunate who yet display fortitude, peace, and joy is inspiring. The little I am able to contribute to the overall success of the delegation is paid back to me far greater than as it helps me gain greater understanding and perspective of life. One can't help but be changed by making a trip like this. Of course, being able to see my daughter Marissa is a special bonus. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kay Wilson, and my husband Dan and I have been attending First Baptist Church for about a year, maybe a little longer. As new members here, we've been eager to participate, get to know all of you, and find the places where we might fit. We've learned many things about the outreach ministries here at First Baptist Church. There's the February Day Warming Shelter, the Holiday Drive for High Cone Families, and the church partnership with Amos. When the opportunity arose to travel to Nicaragua this March, we decided to join the effort. We've listened with interest over the past year as Marissa, Pastor Stacy, Zan, Alex Da Silva, and many others have spoken about their time in Nicaragua. We noticed that all of these people said, we worked with the staff at Amos, and we worked alongside the people. We like the idea of working with Amos as they seem to strive to empower the local people. That will be a goal for Dan and me, and maybe all of the members of our delegation as we travel. Caesar has described the projects, and you can read about them in your bulletin today. At this time of political uncertainty in Nicaragua, we ask for your prayers for Amos, for Marissa, our missionary, and our delegation. You can also support us in the effort and support our church delegation with a gift of money and a donation of dental kits. Our financial goal is $5,000, and the dental kit goal is at least 100 toothbrushes and tubes of toothpaste. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Jeremiah. If you return, O Israel, says the Lord, if you return to me, if you remove your abominations from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in uprightness, the nations shall be blessed by him. And by him they shall boast. For thus says the Lord to the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, O people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with no one to quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet through the land. Shout aloud and say, gather together and let us go into the fortified cities. Raise a standard toward Zion. Flee for safety. Do not delay, for I am bringing evil from the north and a great destruction. A lion has gone up from its thicket. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has gone out from this place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be ruins without inhabitant. Because of this, put on sackcloth, lament, and wail. The fierce anger of the Lord has not turned away from us. On that day, says the Lord, courage shall fail the king and the officials. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. Then I say, Ah, Lord God, how utterly you have deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, It shall be well with you, even while the sword is at the throat. The word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me, please? Light of the world, shine upon us. Spirit, shine yourself into all of our shadows. Shine onto our secrets and show us what we have been hiding. Shine upon our sins so that we may see them for what they are and let them go. Shine upon our ignorance so that we see the smallness of our present understanding. And cast your great light as well on the beauty of your love upon us all. May we stand in that light and be filled with it, and may we recognize it in each other Gracious God, by the power and the beauty of your love, may we be among those who shine. And now we pray for those who are grieved by illness, or who are struggling with addiction, or sorrows, or fears. We pray for those who are exhausted, and for those who feel too much alone, for those who are haunted by too many uncertainties. And we pray for those who are in any way oppressed. If we are among any of these ourselves, may we seek your help and each other's help. May we be open to your encouragement. May we then turn ourselves to be instruments of compassion and encouragement, to be listening presence with those who are struggling. Grant us the courage to offer ourselves. And now in particular, we lift these names into the light. Peter Beauvais, Jean Evey, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Stacy, Ron and Donna Tipton, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Bob Simpson, Anna Kirstein, Saw Nae Lynn, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L. and Marissa Alanese, for Rebecca Levinson, for Amy, Nee, Theona, David, Anne, Kristen, Jim Terrace, Dawn, Gloria, Terry, for the family, sisters and brothers of Sophia Wright, for Bill Barry, Walter Mayer, and for the Jones family. Now in silence, we offer the prayers that our secret hearts most need to pray. And now, all of these, our deep desires, we bring to be joined with your vast and holy desire for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This portion of Luke's gospel comes immediately following the passage that we heard last week, where Jesus has gone to his hometown of Nazareth, has gone to the synagogue there, and read a beloved passage from the prophet Isaiah about how God will liberate the people and give sight to the blind. And so begins our passage today. This is the gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. When the people heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of the Lord. You may be seated and invite the children forward for Time as Children.
In our psalm that Mr. Kevin led us in, we heard that God is our rock. We say that, and I think that sounds so funny. God is our rock. And it made me think about some really big rocks in Nicaragua. We heard Miss Kay and Mr. Caesar talking about Nicaragua. And when I was there last, we were on our way into the church there to sing and pray together like we're doing now. And we walked by some really big rocks, boulders. We hear that God is our rock. And in the psalm it says, I've leaned on you. So I picture us leaning on a big rock. Can you picture yourself leaning on a big rock? Oh yeah, very good. Leaning on a big rock. God is that rock. In Nicaragua, they lean on God as their rock too, just like we do here. And they sing a song like we do too, a very similar song. It's the same song, and we're going to learn it today in Spanish, and it's going to be our new congregational song for a couple weeks. This is a song that has two kind of parts. There's a part for the kids to sing, and there's a part for the grown-ups to sing. And when we sing, we're going to do something with our bodies too. So here are the words, Allelu, 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 Alleluia, which means, God, you're awesome. It's all about praise, saying, God, you're so great. And do you know what the next part is? What do we sing in English usually? Hallelu, 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 hallelujah.
Praise ye, Lord. Yeah. Ingrid, can you pull that paper down for me? Can you pull that out? Thank you.
And then we have, in Spanish, Gloria a Dios, which means glory to God. Can you all say Dios? Dios, that's for God. Yeah, Gloria a Dios. That's going to be the grown-up part out in the congregation, out sitting in the pews. So we have this Allelu, 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 Alleluia, Gloria a Dios. And it goes back and forth, and it involves some movement. So if you're up here, we're going to stand up to sing our part, and we're going to put our hands over our head like this. Praise hands. I call those praise hands. You might call them jazz hands. I call them praise hands. We're going to do that. And guess what? The grown-ups, they don't have to stand up, but they're also going to do their hands above their heads when they get to the Gloria a Dios. Let's see if they can do it. Can you put your hands above your head? Oh, they got it. Look. Oh, I love it. Oh, God's so good. Okay, so we're going to sing this song together. We're going to start, the kids up here, we're going to start, Allelu, 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 Alleluia. Then it's their turn. Grown-ups, you probably know how the song goes. Remember that in the second column in your bulletin, you start with the Gloria a Dios for that second part, and then we come in with Alleluia. So, grown-ups, you got to be ready. You go two times in a row. Can you handle it? Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, Shanae's going to play with us, and we're going to sing. Kiddos, we're going to stand up and put our hands above our heads, and then these guys are going to put their hands above their heads when it's their turn, too. All right, here we go. We'll start down low. We've got to start down low first. Ready? Allelu, allelu, allelu. Here we go. Stand up, hands over your head. Allelu, 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 allelu. Alleluia. Down. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Grown-ups, turn. Your turn, your turn. Our turn. Alleluia. 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 All together. Gloria Dios. Good. All right, let's pray now that we've got our heart rates up a little bit. God, you deserve our praise. We love you. And we know that people all around the world love you. And in Nicaragua, too, where we're going to be having some of our church members go visit and help and be about your work, sharing your love. We thank you that we get to be a part of it in all ways, bringing toothbrushes and tubes of toothpaste, sharing our money, being generous, and singing in praise songs just like those that we're going to visit soon. God, you do deserve our praise. Glory to you, God. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The last few summers, my family has visited various national parks out west, and one of the things I always do before those visits is to read stories of death or misadventure that have happened in those parks. Strangely enough, my family does not seem to appreciate my sharing the stories of people falling off cliffs, or jumping into hot springs, or being attacked by wild animals. But I can't seem to help myself. I like everyone to know about the risks so we can all avoid disaster together. I don't want to end up in one of those stories. And since falling is one of the leading causes of death in national parks, I'm always especially keyed up when we get to those elevated lookout points. The ones that scare me the most are the ones like Keys View in Joshua Tree, where we went last summer. At an elevation of over 5,000 feet, it was an absolutely gorgeous lookout. But it was also so scary to me because there was no barrier up there. There was just nothing to keep people from just going right over the edge while they were taking a selfie. I looked out there and I saw individuals and couples and families all perched right up on the edges all over the lookout, smiling for pictures, while I stood a few hundred yards back waiting for my husband and sons. All those people must not have read all those disaster stories. But even so, don't they realize that one wrong step and they could be the ones pitching over the side of the mountain? Everywhere I looked was just wide open invitation to catastrophe. Fences are not always about keeping some people out and some people in. At the most basic level, a fence is about safety. Sometimes it protects us from ourselves. And of course, the fact that fences are most basically about safety, well, that's why certain kinds of rhetoric about fences, walls, barriers, borders can push certain kinds of buttons. A certain kind of rhetoric is designed to make us feel threatened and anxious. Because we all want to feel safe. We all want to feel protected. We all want to live without fear or threat. And most of the time, the most threatening things in our lives is not a cliff with the possibility of a dramatic plunge. Most of the time, the most threatening thing in our lives is other people. And drawing lines, even if they aren't actual fences or walls, drawing lines can help us know who's safe and who's not, who's with us and who's against us. We want to know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. And whether we admit it or not, this is all of us. We all draw our lines. We do it because something is at stake. As we heard last week, when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth and read from Isaiah in the synagogue, he told the people, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." According to Luke, this was his first public act of ministry. This was his first word on what his life meant: liberation for the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. Today. And the crowd's first response to this good news is amazement at the gracious words coming out of the mouth of their hometown boy. The text he read to them from Isaiah was one of their most beloved texts, with its promises of how the world would be set right for all those who had been done wrong. They saw this passage as directly applying to them. They were the poor. They were the captive. They were the oppressed. Living under the Roman occupation, they heard this passage from Isaiah as words of promise, comfort, freedom, safety. And then, to those promises, Jesus adds that electrifying word, today. These promises have been fulfilled today in his being, in their hearing. That was a great first sermon he preached. It would have been just perfect if he had stopped right there. But Jesus just never leaves well enough alone. He goes on to tell a couple of stories. Stories that might sound a little bit odd to us, but not to the people he was talking to, because those were stories from their own tradition, their own scriptures, our scriptures too. It's just they're a little less familiar to us. But these were stories the people already knew. The first is the story of Elijah in the time of famine. There were many widows during the famine, the story goes. But Elijah was only sent to one of them, a Gentile. And then he tells the story of the prophet Elisha saying that there had been many lepers in Israel during Elisha's time, but none of them were healed except a Gentile. In other words, right after Jesus proclaims that today is the day God's promises have been fulfilled, he goes on to tell his hometown crowd these old stories about how God passes over the insiders to minister to the outsiders. The people in the synagogue that day did not care for this. If anyone should be benefiting from the blessing God is going to pour into the world through Jesus, shouldn't it start with the people who knew him and loved him best? Don't these people have some kind of claim on him and therefore some kind of extra special claim on God's care? But instead, Jesus reminds them of stories of how God's grace always moves beyond appropriate boundaries, pushing over the borderline. Stories that challenge not only their understanding of who is in and who is out, but that challenge their understanding of who God actually is. This God will not be fenced, which calls into question how God's own people will be protected and provided for. So the people in the synagogue are filled with rage, which is fine, but what happens next is a little weird. They get right up from their seats in the synagogue, they push Jesus out of town, and they take him to the top of the mountain on which the city is built, so they can hurl him off the cliff. It's a little bit much. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of heated emotion around the issues of who's in and who's out, who's deserving and who's blameworthy. I mean, I too have felt the white-hot rage of being mad at someone. But to throw someone off a cliff? And yet, don't we all know something of the rage and the fear that bubble up in us when we believe an injustice is happening, especially if that injustice is going to cost us something? Haven't you ever felt that irrational anger at someone who is wrong on the internet? I have found myself shaking with the rage of it. The people in Nazareth had every reason to believe that Jesus was one of them, that he even kind of belonged to them. He was raised there. These were his friends, his neighbors, his aunts and uncles and cousins. And here he is telling them stories of broken boundaries, of a grace that doesn't stay where it belongs. Stories of insiders who do the right thing being passed over. Stories of outsiders being blessed. It almost sounds like it doesn't even matter who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. It almost sounds like it doesn't even matter who is deserving and who is blameworthy. It's easy for us to smugly shake our heads at people who can't deal with such an expansive grace, but that's only because we think we somehow get it. We get Jesus. We get his message. We understand about expansive grace. We think we understand better than others do, right? We know the truth. We think we understand Jesus' message better than all kinds of people who think differently than us. Their view of him is just too narrow, not like ours. We get him. We're his people. He's our guy. And because we tend to think that way, we also tend not to see that this, too, is offense. Our understanding of ourselves as big-hearted, open-minded people, people who understand what Jesus was really about, people who get the core of his message, this, too, is offense. It protects our identity as people who get it. It separates us from all those people who just are not quite as enlightened as we are. Our fence helps us define who is good and deserving, and who is bad and blameworthy and ignorant. Jesus reminds us that God is freer than our understandings, terrifyingly free. Freer than even our biggest, most magnanimous understandings. And the gospel of grace is more radically inclusive than we could ever be. Terrifyingly inclusive. More inclusive than we want to be. And the moment any of us thinks we are in and others are out is the moment we have shut ourselves out, boxed ourselves in, kept ourselves from receiving all that Jesus comes to bring, kept ourselves from following wherever it is he means to lead us, because he always goes beyond what we feel is right or safe or comfortable, or sometimes even good. Grace is scandalous because it is unfair. I mean, that's what it is. Grace goes to people who didn't do anything to deserve it. The people in the synagogue in Nazareth couldn't handle the truth of that, so they took Jesus to the top of the mountain to throw him off. But he somehow slipped through the crowd. And then he kept going. On another day, his radical message of grace would just go too far, and he would be captured, and he would be killed. But even then, he would show us that even death is a line he will cross and obliterate. We all want to feel safe, which is why it helps us to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. We like our labels, despite what we say, because we think a red hat tells us who someone really is and whether or not they're safe. And we think a rainbow sticker tells us who someone really is and whether or not they're safe, or we're safe. We like our boxes, our fences, our lines, our labels. And we want to believe we're the good guys. We like knowing. We're the ones who are right. We're the ones on the right side of the fence. We're on the safe side. But maybe we could soften just a little. Maybe we could let Jesus blur even our most justifiable lines at least a little bit. Maybe we could look for signs of God's presence even in all those people we think are wrong or bad or backwards or blameworthy or on the wrong side of everything. Maybe we could look for signs of God's grace in people who make us uncomfortable. Maybe we could look for manifestations of God's goodness even in people who make us furious. Maybe we could be a little less afraid and a little less angry and a little more open and hopeful and attentive. And then maybe we could follow Jesus on the way, all the way, over all the borderlines, and into the fullness of a grace larger than all our limits, bigger than all our dreams, and wide enough for all. By grace, we respond to grace. With our gifts, we respond to God's gift. So let us make our offerings now with joy.
This is the table of Jesus Christ, and so there is no fence around it. There are no lines. Everyone is invited and welcomed. To make ourselves ready to receive such grace, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Please stand. As forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us continue in prayer in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, God formed us in his image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, God gave us his only Son, Jesus Christ. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Thank you.
the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. As always, on Communion Sundays, there are offering plates at the door. This month, the offering is taken in support of the Amos Health and Hope mission to Nicaragua that is to take place soon, as we have heard today, with a number of our
members of our church family going to assist in important work among the people who are there. Let's give as we are able, give happily and freely. Would you stand, please, for our hymn of fellowship?
Neighbor as yourself. Go in peace.